Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 14th, 2011, episode 162, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. And beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
And actually, it is a beautiful day here in Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Jamie.
Well, good morning to you guys. How are you?
We're good, 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 good. We were fighting with your technical problems this morning, but we got you on the air because, you know, there'd be a lot of upset people if they didn't get to hear the reading of Black Beauty today.
And that's what's most important about today's show. We're going to do that at the very end of the show to make those of you Black Beauty fans stick around for the entire thing. So we do appreciate that. And, Glenn, you know, you've just been wrong on this whole situation. People love the Black Beauty.
A lot of sick people in the world, Jamie. There's just a lot of sick people in the world. What else? You know, next you're going to want to read War and Peace. And we're going to have to sit through 8 million days of reading.
I don't see War and Peace as the next one, Glenn. What I do see is maybe something like Moby Dick with an animal theme. Another long
one. Oh, my God. Trying to kill me.
No.
Can't we read a good, a good murder mystery or something? A good, apparently there's some murder in this book we're reading now.
Science fiction story, yeah. There's lots of drama, Glenn. Just embrace it and get excited. You want me to do it right now? Because I'll do it right now.
No.
I'll read right now.
It's all right, all right. Got to give me time to mentally prepare for it. Kind of mentally prepare. Time.
All right, well.
Like an hour and a half. What do you think? You haven't figured it out yet. See, I really went into your computer this morning and sabotaged it so we couldn't get you on the air.
Yeah, that didn't work. That didn't work. But I would like to thank you. And, I'll thank the other appropriate party in my Daily Winnie. How's that?
Okay. Jennifer, what's coming up?
On today's edition of Pfizer Tuesday, we hit the sidelines. Magazine, that is, Erin Gilmore will be here to clue us in on what's hot and what's not, who's hot and who's not in the equestrian social scene. And up next, our regular Pfizer Tuesday Horse and Country TV European report from our good buddy Katie Gilmore. Now, wait a minute, that's a Gilmore and a Gilmore. I see a theme. Okay. Concluding our romp across the interweb, Airways Black Beauty Chapter 9.
And Jennifer was a Gilmore. Her maiden name was Gilmore. So we got two Gilmores on the show, three Gilmores on the show today. That's a coincidence, if I ever saw one before.
And it's chapter 8.
Oops, sorry.
Jennifer, just let me jump in here. It's chapter 8, Ginger's Story Continued. If you recall, chapter 6 was really long, so I had to split it into two. That means you weren't paying attention.
You think I'm picking on you about Black Beauty. I guarantee you Jennifer is over there just totally zoned out. She's more zoned out about Black Beauty than I am.
And that's just non-horse chick to me. That is just non-horse chick to me. You could sit there and ignore Black Beauty and not get excited about it. All right, I'm done with this topic. Move on.
Right.
Daily Winning,
go ahead.
Let's try this.
My Daily Winning goes out to Fran Yerga, who our friend up there, the blogger extraordinaire from Massachusetts. She wrote an excellent article on preparedness for natural disasters. It's called The Equestrian in the Mirror, Disaster's Flip Side Shows Us What Horse People Can Do. It was a good article. She actually quotes us in there from our show we did the other night from the Horse World Gives Back show. So thank you, Fran, for including us in that. It was a good article, excellently written, and everybody should check it out. And we put a link on our Horses in the Morning page on Facebook. You'll find a link to Fran's article there. And also, good morning, Robert Dunn, who is listening in this morning. He apparently is not making wigs this morning. Oh, that reminds me. Can I do another one, please?
Please.
Robert and all our fans out there will be happy to know that Warhorse won the Best Play Tony Award. So they won the Tony Award for Best Play and Warhorse. Isn't that cool?
Question. It's awesome. Is that kind of like winning Best Picture for the Academy Awards? I'm not that familiar.
That's the big one. Yep. That's
wow.
Correct. Yeah, and then Mormon, the play Mormon, took everything else. Like 9 other awards. And that's the one that was written. Yes, that's the one that was written by the South Park guys.
Yeah, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, which, you know, they are just evil geniuses. You can't fault them for that. I haven't seen either one of those plays, but I'm dying to see both.
I know. I just want to go to New York and do a play weekend. We could probably get Robert to come along, too. He'd probably be happy to join us there for that. terrific for Warhorse. Yay for the horses. One for the horse team. And now, your...
My first Daily Winnie goes out to my husband, Chad Jennings, who sat up last night in complete exhaustion trying to fix our internet connection problem so I could come and do our show this early in the morning. And then he actually got up as well before the show even started. And mind you, the show starts at 6 o'clock my time. So my dear sweet husband hopped up early at like 5:30, got out here and worked on the computer as well. We've got a little bit different setup, but he's made it work, and so I appreciate that. That's my first Daily Winnie. That's
yay, funny. Chad!
Now my second.
Oh, hold on. I've lost my mind.
I guess it was just a panicked kind of evening because I brought my horses up yesterday afternoon, right when it starts to get hot. I bring them in and put them in the shade, and I noticed my big thoroughbred is missing a shoe. And not only is he missing a shoe, which I then found the shoe attached was a large chunk of hoof that went with the shoe. Was still
oops.
Stuck to the nails. And I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. I have a riding lesson today. I'm shipping him up to Scottsdale. I have a group jumping lesson. Things are going really great. This weekend is Flagstaff. I've got an event to go to this weekend. And he's lost a shoe. My farrier came out at 6:30 p.m. last night and redid all four. His appointment wasn't until Thursday. But because so much to do, she came out at 6:30 last night. So Janine Ross, round of applause, barrier coming out. I mean, how many of us have had those panic moments where we're like, oh, my gosh, my horse lost a shoe. I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to be somewhere tomorrow. And how many farriers kind of go, sorry about your luck.
You know, well, that is a good farrier, but there's very few that'll do that anymore.
I want to know from people, does anybody have a farrier that does that kind of thing? So maybe that's a good Facebook question. If you are stuck and it's a hard, you know, you're stuck in a moment where you are in a panic, your horse has lost a shoe, you have somewhere to be, and you call your farrier at night or on a Sunday, how many of your farriers would actually come out? Jennifer, have you ever had that experience with your Fleet Farrier?
Oh yeah. I had some over the years that were really proactive in that respect, but I think more and more you're seeing farriers that are just requiring a lot more scheduling in their life because of the cost of getting, you know, moving around. But I had a couple who would do that. They'd show up at all kind of ungodly hours and tack shoes back on, and then you fed them whatever non-alcoholic beverage they preferred and maybe some brownies for their trouble.
I tried to feed her dinner. I tried to give her beer. I tried to give her water. Nothing. She didn't want anything.
She just wanted to get the hair and get the heck out.
Yeah.
Probably.
Get out.
And get paid.
Yeah, don't worry. I left her a check. I even said, can I please pay you some sort of emergency fee or something? And she was like, heck no. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And by the way, I have a female farrier, and she's fantastic. I love her. So there you go. I want to know if anybody else has a great farrier like that who will come on out and save the day. You know, and then, of course, she, you know, I have to give her a hug as she leaves, which just makes you feel more awkward. Like, come here, bring it in. Friend hug.
Yeah, Jamie is a hugger. No question about that. Hey, we had a farrier, best farrier we ever had. His name is Steve. And he came with Jennifer. He was Jennifer's farrier when I met. He had been your farrier for the family for years before I came into the picture, right?
Yes.
And he was the best farrier ever. He still hot shoed. He still made his own shoes. He had his own, you know, his own coal fired furnace in the back of the truck. And, you know, he would spend the day just chatting with us. You know, on occasions he'd come over when it was hunting season and hunting at our farm with us. I mean, he was one of those guys that knew his stuff. An old school farrier. He used to make knives, and he actually did farrier work other than horseshoes too. And he was one of those great old farriers and a philosopher. The good farriers are philosophers. Have you ever noticed that? There are also studies of human nature.
I remember farriers as being, well, when I was a kid, your farriers were very unfit creatures. You know, they'd come in, they had a big old beer belly, they would show up, they'd kind of, you know, be sweating and grunting the entire time. Now, farriers are like fit. They go to the gym, they work out, they look good, they're thin. Have you guys noticed that too?
Yeah, well, and of course, there's that Facebook page that you can see a bunch of them from the backside. Remember that one?
Was it
Farrier Butts or something on Facebook? But no, you're right. I think some of them are. Ours, you know, kind of think about it. I tell you what, we've had some female farriers over the time that have been very buff, that look like weightlifters. Very buff ones. But, you know, our farrier back then, Steve, he was in good shape. He was in pretty good shape. But, you know, their backs just give out before they turn 40 and they're done.
Yeah, that's probably why they need that added level of fitness. Probably helps their longevity in their career.
Of course, some of those older guys with the bellies, you know, those bellies might have helped them prop when they were bent over like that. It might have been kind of a prop, you know, or lean on.
You are right. You are
either
right.
Either that or the beer. Oh, I'm not sure which. And why do all farriers have Jack Russells? That's the other thing.
You know, Jack Russells or Border Collies? That's the other one.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
They either have Jack Russells or Border Collies. So that's true. So, Jennifer, the question of the
Miller.
Day is, yeah. Question of the day, Jennifer, is which kind of dog does your farrier have? So there's the question of the day. Either gonna be
that's
Jack
all
Russell's
you got out of that.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Aubrey Miller says she loves her farrier too. He has been known to come out at 5 in the morning to tack his shoe back on before they leave for a horse show. He's worth his weight in gold. That's cool. That is, you know, when you've got a good relationship with your farriers. You call them, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to show today. I remember we had a farrier who came out on a Sunday morning one time because we had a schooling that day. So, you know, those kind of farriers you just keep around for sure.
And Robert Dunn says, good morning. Congrats to Warhorse. Someone I know also won a Tony for Best Actor in a Musical. So, Robert, post on Facebook who that person was. We'll give him a shout out here. It's kind of cool that you know somebody that has done that. That's kind of neat.
Just Google it. He's apparently trying to be sneaky. He doesn't know. He doesn't want to let us know who he knows.
See, Jennifer liked my question, too, because that's what she posted on Facebook. I win, you lose.
Well, that's because you're the boss.
Yeah, but I'm not the boss of Jennifer. You got to remember that. I'm also married to her. That's kind of different. Hey, I got a story for you. This comes out of Pennsylvania, Mercer County, which is in the western part of Pennsylvania over near Pittsburgh. And there's an Amish population over there, too. One of the things that if you grew up in Amish country like I did, that you understand that a lot of people that haven't grown up around don't understand is before they join the church, they go through this thing called Rumspringa, which basically means they can do whatever the hell they want and get away with it. Well, one of the big things that the kids used to do, and I'm talking the 16 to 20-year-olds, that's about the range, is they used to drink a lot. They used to have these big beer parties in Intercourse, Pennsylvania, where the police used to come in and bust them every year and get them for underage drinking, and they had rock bands. They would actually hire rock bands to come into the barn, and they would have these big barn parties and have kegs and kegs of beer. Well, apparently
you're talking about the Amish people here?
Yes. Rumspringa is a time before they join the church. They only join the church when they're in their early 20s. So before that, they can pretty much get away with whatever they want to, and then when they join the church, they're forgiven for all that previous stuff. So there were places in the county where they would go park and make out. They would take the buggies. You'd see all the buggies lined up, and we all knew it as the parking place for the Amish. And then there would be these places where they would have these parties, and it was at somebody's barn that was sort of off, like a tobacco barn that was off in the middle of the field someplace, away from the house. And there would be hundreds of Amish kids that would come in and in their buggies, in their courtin' buggies. Now, the Amish kids usually had fancy buggies, and they would buy the fancy horses. They would buy the X-race horses that were real fancy looking, and they would pay up to $10,000, $20,000 each for those horses.
No way.
Yes. I mean, it's sort of like us buying a Ferrari. They would buy these fancy driving horses, and they were usually what they would call, quote-unquote, man's horses. In other words, they were a handful. They were just off the track, and they were very fancy, and they'd go very fast because you had to impress the girls. And there would sometimes be four or five couples in these buggies hanging out all over the place. But anyway, the article yesterday out of Pittsburgh paper, four of them were apparently arrested when they were driving their horse-drawn cart or carriage, the horse and buggy, drunk. Four of them aged 17 to 19, and the problem was they kept running into mailboxes along the road, and apparently they ran into one too many mailboxes and actually disabled the carriage, which probably means a wheel fell off, and they couldn't go any further. Thus, the police ended up finding them alongside the road drunk, and that's what happened to those four. So they're going to need to ask for forgiveness when they go.
That makes me think, though, maybe the reason that they were, you know, each mailbox was dented along the way is because they had a baseball bat and they were hitting the mailboxes, but because they didn't have good speed on the horse, they were just denting them instead of knocking them clean off. You know what I mean? Like, what do they call it, mailbox baseball? Like, instead of a home run, they just kind of went dink, dink, dink.
You were coming home to Lancaster County on the Saturday night. Late, if you were coming in at 11 or 12 o'clock, you'd pass maybe 50 horse and buggies. And there were some of those that were all over the road, and you knew that those kids were drinking that night. And I just thought it was interesting. Barry Leibowitz, who wrote this article for the Pittsburgh paper, the last line, you're going to get a kick out of this, says, just to be clear, the teens were allegedly drunk, not the horse. He felt like he needed to clarify that.
Oh, no. Hey, Glenn, we have a caller on the line, by the way, whenever you're ready.
Okay, let's take it. Yeah, let's take it. Oh, I see. Wendy's on the line. Let's see if I can get her.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Wendy. This is Wendy Ying, our friend. How are you, Doc?
I am great, and I am still laughing about your Amish story about the kids driving drunk. And I'm glad to know. I'm glad that guy cleared up the fact that it was the kids and not the horse that was drunk.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, we were all concerned about that. Can you see the horse? Yep. What is that thing that I see? I know I wasn't good at this because I wasn't a good drunk kid. What is the thing when they put the tube in your mouth? It's called something, and you lean back and they just pour it down the tube. What's that called, Jamie? You'll know.
Oh, Funneling.
Do you think they were funneling the horse? Maybe that was what they were worried about? You can see the horse's head lean back.
We call that tubing, but we usually don't put beer down there. It's usually mineral oil and water.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a fabulous dirty trick for your bar buddies, is to tell them that you're going to put beer in there and put some mineral oil and water in instead?
No.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Every bathroom on the way home. I got to stop again, guys. What's up, Wendy?
Well, I was calling in because I wanted to thank you, Jamie, for giving me the Winnie of the day yesterday. And I'm glad to hear that your puppy is doing better. And I wanted to talk to you about the herbs and the dosage.
Yes. Okay. So for those who didn't hear the show yesterday, Wendy is a Chinese medicine veterinarian and told me some different foods to feed my dog because her yin and yang was out of balance. And I kind of was like, okay. No, it worked. Like, I did this diet for 2 weeks, and my dog is totally different. My husband came home from out of town. He's like, what did you do to the basset hound? I'm like, I'm telling you, I just did the diet. But then Wendy sent me some pills that are some herbal stuff. You can explain what they do.
It's an herbal supplement. And basically, because you're doing the home-cooked food and some other things, that all you really need to do is it's just like a – you know, it's a supplement, so you don't have to give her a high dose of that. You only probably need to give her 3 capsules twice a day. And you can open those capsules and just put the powder on the food. But some dogs don't like to eat the powder. So if she eats the powder, that's great. And if she doesn't, they're in capsule form, so you can just pill her.
You know, my basset hound is so special, Wendy, that actually with her regular pills, I just give them to her and she eats them. She is so blind right now.
It's a basset hound.
See what?
It's a basset hound, so that's what I figured.
Yeah, you could. If she could see, you'd throw it in the air and she'd just grab it, but she can't see anymore. So you just stick the pills in her mouth and she just eats them. But she might get figured out if it's giving her 10 a day.
Yeah, 10 a day is probably a lot. But you only need to give her 3 twice a day.
Okay, fantastic.
That's 6. That's still a lot of pills.
And, you know why it's a larger volume? Because it's just like a herbal supplement, so it's ground up like roots and berries.
Okay.
And
it
also,
is
What's this supposed to do, Wendy? What will this supplement do? What was it called again?
It's called Shen Kama. So I was on your website and I saw that Omega Alpha because I'm not familiar with their formulas, but somebody was telling me about that and I saw the link on your website. And it's very similar to their formulas called, like, Chill Out or something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same ingredients. It's a mix of Chinese herbs and basically... Remember I was telling you, like, if you have too much heat inside, you have, like, a yin deficiency, so your air conditioner is broken. So then you get too much heat, and it can make the mind crazy. So the herbs help to support the yin. So it makes the yin stronger, so it balances it out.
Now, Glenn, you ask what is inside, what is in the ingredients, and I'm going to read you the label, okay?
Okay.
Okay, it's clearly you should know all these herbs, okay? And I'm shocked if you don't. It's Mu Li Bai Xiao Ya, Biota Bai Zi Ren, Denggui, Zi Bai Xuanzo Zhao Ren, Asparagus, Tianmen Dong, Siberis, Zing Fu Ya.
Once again, her Chinese accent sounds a lot like the British and Irish and Japanese accent. They all kind of sound alike.
Zing Shen. I love the fact that there's all those and then asparagus.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
See, that's useful in Chinese medicine. And also, it's actually not that many ingredients because, like, they have the name in English and then the name in Chinese.
Some of those were English?
Yeah, like asparagus. asparagus is in English. Or like Dong Wei Angelica. It says it in both languages.
Okay, well, if some of those were English, I'll take your word for it.
Well, thank you, Wendy. That was nice of you to call in. So you gotta get 6 pills down there a day, Jamie.
Well, the opening them up and pouring over the food. Hey, by the way, how long am I supposed to feed her the beef/egg white/applesauce/yogurt?
Let me tell you, Wendy, her husband is pissed. She doesn't even cook for him, and now she's been cooking for her dog for 2 weeks.
I know, Jamie.
And then not only that, Wendy, I got to add this. She's a vegetarian, and you're making her cook hamburger for her dog. Her husband doesn't even do hamburger. Guaranteed, when he goes to the base to work, he stops at McDonald's twice a day just so he can get a beef fix.
I know. When you told me that, I was like, oh, my God. Because I was so glad I didn't tell you to get, like, beef hearts and pig feet or something, because she'd be totally freaked out.
That would never happen. I don't love the dog that much.
I know. So good thing I started with ground beef.
Yeah. I can't believe she's doing it, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it's great. And so anyways, you should, since she's getting so much better, I mean, that's one case that maybe you could just do with food therapy. I think you should try to add these herbs and see, and you'll get to a point where, you know, she's in balance. And then you can, like, she's geriatric, so this is something that you probably have to home cook for her for a long time, but you could start mixing in, like, regular dog food, or you could cook for her 3 days a week or something. But if you see her start to get the same symptoms she had before, where she was having the night terrors or getting overly hot, then you might have to cook for her a little bit more. You know, you just have to titrate that and see how it goes.
All right. Well, I sure do appreciate all your advice. Send me a bill, definitely. What you guys don't know is I Facebook her about stuff all the time, too. I'm like, Wendy, okay, what do I do about this?
That's okay. That's totally okay. I sometimes get calls from people, and I'm like, okay, I know this is a veterinary question. Because they never could just call me to say hi. I always know it's like somebody's dying or hurt their leg.
I'll call you just to say hi. I'll just say hi every once in a while, okay?
All right, that's fair. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you calling in, and I know that Jamie does, especially.
All right, good luck, Jamie, and call me anytime.
All right, thanks, Wendy.
Say hi.
Hi.
That's very nice of her to call in.
I'm going to Facebook her right now and just be like, hey, how's it going? Cool. Talk to you later. I totally know what she means, though. In the years of working on the radio, and it's got to be worse for vets, but working on the radio, you would get phone calls at certain times of the year from certain people who wanted to go to certain events. Okay, like say the band, you know, say, okay, John Mayer's in town. All of a sudden, I get all these phone calls from people. Hey, how's it going? Hey, you got any extra tickets to go see John Mayer? And I'd be like, oh, wait, let me go out to my ticket tree, and I'll pull things off and hand them to you.
I didn't know we could
do
that. Yeah, well, that's true, because they're always giving away tickets at radio stations. By the way, we don't have any tickets. Don't bother calling. We just don't. Nobody gives us tickets to anything. We don't
have any tickets for any good concerts. My brother asked me, he was like, with your new job, do we still get hookups? And I said, Justin, I don't think I could get you an interview with Seabiscuit, okay? So, we have no connections anymore.
That's funny. All right, why don't we do our sponsor for this half hour? And then we're coming up with our first Sidelines report from Erin Gilmore. Sidelines Magazine. She'll tell us a little bit about that, and she's going to be reporting on some fun stuff that they're up to down there in Florida.
Well, at Pfizer Animal Health, they are passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongid C2X, West Nile Innovator, that's the innovator family of vaccines, Solitude, IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. So protect your horse against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus and equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4. From the Fort Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Metastim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's product, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's Pfizer, P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com.
All right, thank you to Pfizer. We appreciate their continued support of Horses in the Morning. Of course, you are listening to Horses in the Morning with Glenda Geek and Jamie Jennings and one little Basset Hound who we don't hear anymore. That's true. You know, come to think about it, we don't hear her barking like we used to a couple weeks ago. That Wendy knows what she's talking about. But it sounds like the answer was you're going to have to cook for her for a long time. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. I wonder if Chad would like some beef, tofu, applesauce, yogurt, Shen Calmer for dinner. I think I just put it on bread and he'd eat it.
like a sloppy Joe. We could come up with it's a sloppy Yen Calmer or whatever. Not a good combination unless you're a sick old Basset Hound. Well, let's get to our sidelines report here with my friend Erin Gilmore. I'm going to try and get her off a hold here. Are you there, Erin?
Yes, I'm here. How are you guys?
Good. Good morning. And Erin, also, Jamie, has become a listener. I know I've seen her comment a few times on Facebook as she's listening to the show. So, Erin, we thank you for listening as well.
Yeah, no problem. I've been enjoying it.
Good. Well, Erin works with Sidelines Magazine, and it's a really cool magazine. If you have never seen it, you should check it out. But before you get into your report today, Erin, tell us a little bit about Sidelines Magazine, what it is, and why people should take a look at it.
Well, Sidelines Magazine is a little bit different than other horse magazines in that it focuses on the people of the horse world. We call ourselves the People Magazine of the Horse World, and we write about interesting show jumpers, dressage riders, eventers, and polo and fox hunters, too. So we touch on all those disciplines and just kind of profile who's doing what this month, what's going on in each discipline. We have a couple gossip columns, and it's just overall a really fun magazine to read.
So if you're at a tack shop, where you're going to find this, Jamie, is by the checkout. Just like you would
that's
at the
right.
grocery store.
Like,
yeah, that's right.
Just like you would People Magazine.
That's right. That's the People Magazine of the horse world. Well, that's terrific. Well, we appreciate you're going to come on with us once a month and give us an update on the people in the horse world and all the good gossip. And,
that's
you know, one of the things I know you're going to talk about today is a little bit about fashion. And I got to make sure Jamie sends her picture over there so that it gets entered in your fashion contest.
Yeah,
no.
We've got a little bit of time, Jamie. You've got to send us something. That contest has gotten pretty interesting. You know, August is our fashion focus issue, and we're really pulling out all the stops this year. We're trying to really make a big editorial section just focus on equestrian fashion. So we're holding a Facebook contest right now and letting people enter their definition of horse style. And let me tell you, it's interesting. So the style choices that people make and the style they make for their horses too. I think we've got some pink blankets for the horses. We've got someone who entered their belt, someone else who entered their 80s retro riding style. So
I don't know exactly what that would be.
There's nobody that's entered their pajama feeding in the morning, not to Sidelines Magazine.
Yes, there is actually.
Yes, there was. Yeah, there was, and I think yours was cuter. You definitely need to enter yours because your outfit definitely beat their outfit.
The pajama feeding is pretty popular, actually.
So Erin,
that has won a lot of votes.
Erin, have you put your picture of you pajama feeding?
No, I like to stay behind the scenes, and I can't enter since I work for Sidelines, and neither can my publisher, Samantha Charles, but she entered just for fun, and that photo is worth going to check out the contest all by itself. It's from her and her fiancé at a mock hunt where they dress up in crazy, crazy outfits, and all I can say is orange suit. I think that's enough said.
Hey, Erin, we have had a couple of our listeners post, including Jamie, posted pictures of them in their pajamas in the barn. So I realize you can't enter your own contest, but you could post your picture and your pajamas on our page.
I'll consider it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We'll wait for that. All right. What's up? What's up in Sidelines?
Well, Sidelines July issue is about to be released, and we focused on ponies and pony riders and pony kids for July. We put Tori Colvin on our cover. Do you guys know her?
No, I don't know her, actually. And I'm looking at the cover right here, and is that a pony she's with? Can't be a pony.
You're probably looking at June. July hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, I'm looking at the previous one. That's true. Yep.
Yeah. In a couple of days, July is coming out. And Tori is 13 years old. She's from South Florida, and she's a little pony rider prodigy. She grew up doing catch riding for all the big pony trainers. And this spring, she rode in her first Grand Prix class and won it. That's pretty remarkable.
Wow.
She's 13.
For those who don't know a lot about jumpers and Grand Prix, how high are the fences in a Grand Prix for a 13-year-old jump?
They're at least 4'6", and in this Grand Prix, they were probably closer to 4'9", 4'9".
On a pony?
No, Grand Prix horse.
Oh, good. I was
pony close. Division. They do give her a real horse for the Grand Prix.
Oh, good. I was so worried there for a minute. I was going, that's bigger than the pony is.
Yeah, that's definitely bigger than the pony is. She rides with A-Circuit trainers Scott Stewart and Ken Berkeley. They're pretty big and successful trainers here on the East Coast. And she's moving right up there. She's definitely one to watch. So Jan Westmark, she writes about all of our juniors and pony kids. She was busy this month. She wrote about Tori. And also, she interviewed one of my personal heroes, Tammy Hogue. Do you know her? She's a writer.
She's an author.
And dressage
writer. Yep.
Yeah. And we love Tammy at Sidelines because she's always been a fan of Sidelines. And in her books, Dark Horse and Alibi Man, they both take place in Wellington. She mentioned Sidelines magazine.
Oh, really?
And I loved this. She said that Sidelines is such a fixture of life among the horse set that she couldn't write a book set in Wellington without mentioning Sidelines, which I thought was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. You know, I actually am going to talk to you because I want to get a hold of her. We're doing a special episode of the Stable Scoop Show on Lyme disease. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was affected by it just like Tammy. Tammy Hogue spent a lot of time battling that disease, and we'd love to get her on the show with us. So I'll have to get her contact information from you and get a hold of her about that.
We can definitely get that to you. I haven't read this article yet, but I'm looking forward to reading it myself about Tammy.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, she had a tough road to hoe for a couple of years. It really knocked her out of the loop for a while. And she was a big advocate in trying to get Lyme disease, more research, and that kind of thing. So she was real big into that.
And she's back in the saddle, too. She's been riding and competing, and I think she has some upper-level dressage horses going right now.
Cool. All right, and what else is going on?
Well, we've got the ponies this month. August, we've got fashion. We've got a couple of fashion features that are going to be in the print magazine. Among that, I just heard this yesterday from our editor. We're going to have a piece on fashionable footwear seen at horse shows, which should be interesting. Lillian Stransky is going to give us that. And Molly Knott of dapplegray.com, she's writing a piece for us as well. So it should be a pretty interesting issue.
You got Molly involved. Molly's been on the show with us a couple of times talking about fashion stuff.
Molly is great. And I love her website and her blog, don't you?
Yes, and Jamie and I are about the two most unfashionable people you'll ever meet, so we don't know what we can get.
Molly's always got something. Has she told you about the polo wrap shoes? She always comes up with these crazy, crazy shoes from high fashion that people just seem to invent from nowhere, and us horse people always just laugh at it.
I'm
polo
looking
wrap
at
shoes,
her
though,
blog, right?
I got to tell you that, Jamie, that Erin is fashionable. I have seen her in person before, and she's always dressed nicely. So
you are way too kind.
She doesn't have the same problem we have. She doesn't have that same stigma of not doing well with fashion.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've just gotten home from riding early in the morning in South Florida, so I'm not at my fashion best right now. But
what's the temperature get up to there during the day right now? Because you're down there in the Wellington area.
Yep, I am. I'm in Wellington still. It's nice and quiet now. It's the off-season. I think it's about 83, 84. It's about 9:30 in the morning, so it's a little warm, just a bit.
But, see, Jamie hits about 105 every day, so she doesn't have any pity for you at all.
She shouldn't. And the nights are really nice. Actually, last night we had a big storm, and the temperature dropped about 20 degrees, so we got a little refresher.
Yeah, I talked to my mom about the rain you guys were getting. She lives in Florida as well, and she was like, "It's raining, it's raining." Wait, oh, it stopped. So we need a wee tiny little storm.
We need a little bit more rain.
It is definitely nice and sweaty and humid, but I was going to say that can we just get like a little brief? Okay, so you're in South Florida. You decide to go ride. I would assume that you're not throwing on jeans and half chaps. So what exactly do you ride in South Florida?
I think it's less what you ride in and more when you ride. We wear our polo shirts and our belts and breeches, and we always look turned out. No black, though. It's getting too hot to wear anything of the color black. I've got my half chaps, and I stay semi-cool. I think it's going to get real hot in August and September. That's what everybody keeps saying.
Is this your first year summer in Florida?
This is my first summer in South Florida. So far I still like it, but you'll have to keep checking back with me.
Yeah, we'll see what you say in June and August.
It's nice, though. You know, you got the pool right outside. You can always go swimming. You can always go to the beach. I am definitely not complaining. We did show on Sunday, though, and it was a little hot. We were showing at about 11:45. So,
See, I keep kidding Jamie that her 105 is okay because it's dry heat, and you guys have the humidity, so it's worse.
Yeah.
She doesn't buy that, by the way. She's never bought the
dry. I'm a fan of the humidity, so I don't think it's worse. I like it.
Oh, there you go. Well, it's a good thing because you're going to need to like it in about another month.
I know. You might have to remind me I said that in about 2 months.
Hey, I got to make a correction here. It wasn't Tammy Hogan that had Lyme disease. It was I was thinking of Amy Tan, who is another author.
Okay. I was kind of thinking of myself. Gosh, I've never heard that about Tammy.
Yeah, not Tammy Hogan's been on our shows numerous times. I was thinking of Amy Tan at the time, which Tammy Hogan, Amy Tan, you know, they got the similar names. And your last name is Gilmore. Your last name's Gilmore. We have another Gilmore coming on at 10 o'clock, and my wife's maiden name's Gilmore. So,
oh, really? That's a lot of Gilmores. I don't know many other ones.
I know. There's a lot of Gilmores on the show today. Well, where can people find Sidelines Magazine?
Well, other than tax stores and at horse shows, they can always go online and get it. We have a pretty active Facebook page. You can get a digital issue right from the Facebook page and on our website as well. And we're going to unveil kind of a website with a little bit of a facelift in the next couple of days. So keep checking back to our website to look at that. It's sidelinesnews.com.
And also I saw on your Facebook page that they can read the magazine on a new app now.
Well, you can read the magazine on your iPad. You can buy it and it goes right to the iPad in about 2 clicks, which is pretty cool if you have one. I just got one, and I love it. I've read the July issue on my iPad now, and it's great.
I gotta admit that an iPad is something I'd love to get. That's on my list. I haven't gotten it yet. Chris
is
the one.
Yeah, you get it. You'll never turn back.
I know. Chris is the one that always buys the newest, latest things technology-wise at the Horse Radio Network here, and I think she's on her second one already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the new one, and it's pretty cool. I almost read more, I think, than I did before I had it.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us here, and we'll have you back next month to give us the latest update on the heat and also what's coming up in the newest Sidelines magazine. It's sidelinesnews.com. Check it out, everybody. And Robert Dunn loves gossip, so he should be subscribing to this And I know he's listening this morning. So, Robert, there you go. Subscribe. This is perfect. This is the People Magazine of the Horse World.
Great. Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
All right. No problem, Erin. Enjoy your hot day.
Oh, I will.
All right. Bye-bye. So that's Sidelines Magazine. You know, you do see it at tack shops. I don't know if your tack shops out there have it. But
I'm still stuck on this whole Tammy Hogue has Lyme's disease thing.
No, it's Amy Tan, actually. I got that mixed up. So Tammy Hogue does not. Amy Tan did. And Amy Tan's also a popular author.
Oh, okay. So she's an author, too. I was like, how did you put those two together? Because the name is not that close.
And I was trying to get Amy Tan, and then when I saw Tammy Hogue, I got thinking, oh, you know, they got tan. There's tan in common.
Yeah, that's pretty sketchy.
That's close. I mean, talking. This
no
is because I have to suffer through Black Beauty every day. That's why I have these issues.
Oh, Robert just posted that Chris Stafford must have Tammy's cell number because she's been on the Dressage Radio Show. See, Robert's paying more attention than you are this morning, Glenn.
And we haven't even gotten to Black Beauty yet.
Oh,
let's do a song. Hey, I got a song today.
It.
What did I pick? What did I pick today? I picked a Templeton Thompson song that we have not heard before. It's called That's Where I Want to Live. So let's take a listen, and we'll be back with the European Report with Horse and Country TV and the daily dramatic reading of another chapter of Black Beauty.
Was Templeton Thompson. That's where I want to live. Sorry. We've had these computer problems all morning long, and I'm still kind of in the mix of them here. However, you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Pfizer Animal Health. And I am Jamie Jennings, along with Glenn the Geek. And it's been an exciting day, Glenn. I've got a couple of news stories for you, or I've got Black Beauty. Which one do you want first?
Oh, let's do the news stories. I love your news stories.
Are you sure that you'd rather have a news story?
I'm pretty sure. I'm positive. I'd rather have a news story. Positive.
Well, we're going to get to both, so we might as well just go ahead with the news story then. You know, I was trying to remember that website.
God,
what
I
is the website that
the European report takes a long time today? Just maybe she can talk slow. I can encourage her to talk. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Remember, the people donated to our cause on Horse World Gives Back to hear you not make fun of Black Beauty anymore. So keep that in mind every time you make a crack. Are we clear?
I'm clear. Yep, I'm clear.
Okay, good. All right. So what was that website that was you could watch all the different webcams installs of mares that were about to foal? I cannot remember it to save my life.
Oh, what was that called?
I don't know, but I still want to get them on and talk to them about it because basically you can watch horses have their babies.
Yeah, if anybody remembers,
and
post it on Facebook because I can't remember either.
Yeah, and basically you can help watch for, you know, do a little foal watch. People were calling and saying, hey, your mare looks like she's about to foal. She broke her water. No, she just went to the bathroom. That kind of stuff. So you could check that out. Well, there's a farm in
Foalcam.com. Foalcam.com.
There you go. Well,
I'm looking at that. I think that's what it is.
They're doing this in Great Britain as well, although they only have one that's going on right now, and it's Queenie the Shire Horse. And Queenie the Shire Horse is basically trying to reconnect people with the farming lifestyle. So they're going to be watching Queenie, it's my farm website. Let me see if I can pull up that website and see what the name of it is. My-farm.org.uk. So my-farm.org/.uk, and you can go on and watch Queenie the Shire Horse. Now, what I thought was interesting about this is Shire horses are very rare, so it's going to be a foaling to watch. However, the guy that's in charge of the farm says in a couple different places that, hey, just to let you know, she lost her foal last year, and the one before that died. So, yeah, I'm a little nervous about putting this online. The chances of this mare having
that's just lovely.
Yeah. This is farm manager Richard Morris said there's no guarantee this birth will be straightforward, particularly as Queenie had a miscarriage last year and the previous foal had to be put down due to deformities.
Ah, jeez.
Why on earth, out of all the horses that are going to have foals in England this year, why on earth did they decide to put this one up? It's a live webcam trying to reconnect people with the farming lifestyle. They're going to see this, like, deformed foal born, and they're going to think, I'm never, ever breeding horses, ever. I want no part of farming.
I just went to the website, actually, and the stream is down right now. It says off air. And now I'm kind of glad.
Marestare.com, that's the one.
Oh, Marestare, that's it. Yep, you're right. This other one I found, it wasn't it. So it's Marestare.com.
Yeah.
Boy, I've been wrong at everything today. Pretty much. I'll just quit now. You know what? I'll just let you take over the rest of the show, and I'll go out for breakfast.
Okay. Just make sure you bring Jennifer home something. She'll get mad at you.
Only if it's Dunkin' Donuts. And Dunkin' Donuts Day is on Saturday.
I'm just going to help you not do anything wrong again. Now, the other story that I have for you, which is a large dose of irony as well, is that I know you love the horse rescue stories, Glenn. There's nothing you like better than a horse fell into a swimming pool. Not that you like that part, but that they successfully were able to pull the horse out of the pool, you know, or a natural disaster happens and there's some heroic rescue of a horse. Well, there are now two horses in Australia, one named Bruce and one named Bob. And you know what they are? They are fake horses that are completely trained to help firefighters and policemen and animal rescue people train them on how to rescue a horse. Apparently, there's so many horse rescues that take place in Australia, and there's so few people that are actually educated on how to actually rescue horses that Bruce is a 200-kilogram life-size horse mannequin and is going to be put to work to help train equine vets, emergency responders, and RSPCA inspectors to help safely rescue horses in life-threatening situations. He will soon be joined by Bob, a floating mannequin. How funny is that? They named the floating mannequin Bob.
Wow.
Okay, that's what it is. They're going to teach him, I don't know if they're going to teach you how to lasso a floating horse or whatever, but they basically are going to use two horses to teach these Australians how to rescue horses.
Is Bob going to be flailing like a horse would be if he's stuck in the water?
I know.
They have flailing Bob. Is they have flailing Bob and flailing Bruce, or is it just static Bruce and static Bob? Oh, you know what this reminds me of? Do you ever watch Mythbusters?
I love Mythbusters.
What's the name of the dummy, the mannequin? The guy who they always blow up and, you know, what's his name, Jennifer? Jennifer.
I don't know, but the crash test dummy that they use. I don't
know
what his name is.
What is his name? We've heard it a million times.
Oh, my gosh, this is embarrassing because I'm a fan.
She's like an addicted fan to, do you watch Mythbusters? I'm surprised you watch Mythbusters. That surprised me, Jamie. I didn't think you were a Mythbusters type.
You know what? I try to, when I do watch shows, if I'm not watching SpongeBob, I try to watch something that's relatively educational.
Buster.
Buster. That's it. Buster.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. Buster.
I think it's Buster, time for I hope Buster that, to retire, though.
I hope Bruce and Bob do better than Buster, because Buster's always losing parts.
And seriously, don't quiz me on SpongeBob because I wasn't lying. I've seen like every episode 10 times.
You're kidding, right?
I'm not kidding.
You like watch SpongeBob?
Dude, it's a great show. It's a,
oh, that
all,
explains the whole Black Beauty thing. I kind of get it now.
SpongeBob is...
You watch SpongeBob?
Is,
are you kidding
yes.
me?
It's not for kids. It's for adults. There's some great stuff in there. And I'm sorry. It
you
comes
don't
on...
make Chad sit there and watch SpongeBob with you, do you?
Oh, he thinks it's the most bizarre thing that he cannot believe he married somebody that watches SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right? That's almost grounds for divorce, I think.
No, because here's what SpongeBob does to me is if I lay down and try to take a nap and SpongeBob is on, I put SpongeBob on and I am asleep in like 5 minutes. It is like sedative to me.
Well, that
it
I can understand. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
There are pretty flashing colors. The dialogue is not upsetting. However, the problem is what happens when I wake up. I wake up to Dora the freaking Explorer. Oh, my God, that's the most annoying show ever. So if you want to quiz me on my Nickelodeon knowledge, I will kick your butt.
I can't believe you watched SpongeBob. And Robert is calling me out and saying, actually, Glenn, didn't you have and Helena have Tammy Hogan's Table Scoop once? Yes, we did. But you know what? We figured it out the other day. I've interviewed almost 1,400 guests since we started the Horse
no
Radio
way.
Network. Yeah, it is. So it's kind of hard to remember them all, you know. But, Robert, you're right. I did. Robert's like our memory. He is the memory of the Horse Radio Network. He remembers all this stuff. He's like our little memory. Anyway, I think we're waiting. Do we have our we don't have our guest on the line yet.
Not quite yet.
Not quite
I
yet.
I can always okay. read. I can read.
Okay, let's get it over with. Let me find the music. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go. For all of you not interested, you can turn off the radios now, but come back in 5 minutes because she'll be done by then.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Thank you, Nigel. Chapter 8, Ginger's story continued. The next time that Ginger and I were together in the paddock, she told me about her first place. After my breaking in, she said, I was bought by a dealer to match against another chestnut horse. For some weeks, he drove us together, and then we were sold to a fashionable gentleman, and we were sent up to London. I had been driven with the bearing rein by the dealer, and I hated it worse than anything else. But in this place, we were reined in far tighter, the coachman and his master thinking we looked more stylish, though. We were often driven about in the park and other fashionable places. You, who has never had a bearing ring, don't know what it is, but I can tell you it is dreadful. I like to toss my head about and hold it as high as any horse, but fancy now yourself if you tossed your head up high and were obliged to hold it there, and that for hours together, not be able to move it at all, except with a jerk still higher, your neck aching until you did not know how to bear it. Besides that, to have two bits instead of one, and mine was a sharp one, it hurt my tongue and my jaw, and the blood from my tongue colored the froth that kept flying from my lips as I chafed and fretted in the bit and rein. And it was worse when we had to stand by the hour waiting for our mistress at some grand party or entertainment. And if I fretted or stamped with impatience, the whip was laid on. It was enough to drive one mad. Did not your master take any thought for you? I said. No, he only cared to have a stylish turnout, as they call it. I think he knew very little about horses. He left that to his coachman, who told him I was of an irritable temper and that I'd not been well broken to the bearing rein, but I should soon get used to it. But he was not the man to do it, for when I was in the stable, miserable and angry, instead of being soothed and quieted by his kindness, I only got a surly word or a blow. If he had been civil, I would have tried to bear it. I was willing to work, and really to work hard, too, but to be tormented for nothing but their fancies angered me. What right had they had to make me suffer like that? Besides the soreness in my mouth and the pain in my neck, it always made my windpipe feel bad, and if I stopped there long, I know it would have spoiled my breathing. But I grew more and more restless and irritable. I could not help it, and I began to snap and kick when one came to harness me. For this groom beat me one day as he had just buckled us into the carriage and we were straining my head up with that rein. I began to plunge and kick with all my might. I soon broke a lot of harness and kicked myself clear, so that was the end of that place. After this, I was sent to Tattersall's to be sold. Of course, I could not be warranted free from vice, so nothing was said about that. My handsome appearance and good paces soon brought a gentleman to bid for me, and I was bought by another dealer. He tried me in all kinds of ways with different bits and soon found out what I could bear. At last, he drove me quiet without a bearing rein and then sold me to a perfectly quiet horse to a gentleman in the country. He was a good master and I was getting on very well, but his old groom left him and a new one came. This man was always hard-tempered and hard-handed as Samson. He always spoke in a rough, impatient voice, and if I did not move in the stall the moment he wanted me, he would hit me above the hocks with his stable broom or fork, whichever he might have in his hand. Everything he did was rough, and I began to hate him. He wanted to make me afraid of him, but I was too high-mettled for that. And one day when he had aggravated me more than usual, I bit him, which of course put him in a great rage, and he began to hit me about the head with a riding whip. After that, he never dared come into my stall again. Either my heels or my teeth were ready for him, and he knew it. I was quiet with my master, but of course he listened to what the man said, and so I was sold again. The same dealer heard of me and said he thought he knew of one place where I should do well. 'Twas a pity, he said, that such a fine horse should go to the bad for want of a real good chance, and in the end of it, I came here not long before you did. But I had then made up my mind that men were my natural enemies and that I must defend myself. Of course, it is very different here, but who knows how long it'll last? I wish I could have gone about things as you do, but I can't after all I've gone through. Well, I said, I should think it would be a real shame if you were to bite or kick John or James. I don't mean to, she said, but while they are good to me, I did bite James once pretty sharp, but John said, try her with kindness. And instead of punishing me as I expected, James came to me with his arm bound up and brought me a bran mash and stroked me. And I have never snapped at him since, and I won't either. I was sorry for Ginger, but of course I knew very little then, and I thought it most likely she made the worst of it. However, I found as the weeks went on, she grew much more gentle and cheerful and had lost the watchful, defiant look that she used to turn any strange person who came near her. One day James said, I do believe that mare is getting fond of me. She quite whinnied after me this morning when I had been rubbing her forehead. Hey, Jim, it's the Birdwick Falls, she said. She'll be as good as Black Beauty by and by. Kindness is all the psychic she wants, poor thing. Master noticed the change, too, and one day he got out of the carriage and came to speak with us, as he often did, and he stroked her beautiful neck. Well, my pretty one, well, how do things do with you now? I think you're a good bit happier than when you came to us. She put her nose up to him in a friendly, trustful way while he rubbed it gently. We shall make a cure of her yet, John. Thank you very much. That's it?
Oh, okay. Boy, that's an irritable mare. It doesn't get along with anybody.
used. Do people still use the bearing rein when they drive?
I don't even know what a bearing rein is, to be honest with you.
It's a rein that attaches from the back of their bridle all the way to the cart, and it makes them hold their head up in a fashionable way.
We used to put an overcheck on, but it wasn't a rein that came all the way back to the cart.
No, with an overcheck, were they able to stretch their heads down?
No, that's why you put an overcheck on.
Oh, so they, see, that's so a bearing rein. Glenn, you're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
By the way, I have this inside line now to your mother, and she says, Jamie is not kidding. She has watched SpongeBob for years. I even buy her something SpongeBob for Christmas. This is one thing I, too, can't believe. You picked on us because we mentioned Oompa Loompas, and you watched SpongeBob.
Yeah, I don't think anybody told me I look like SpongeBob, Glenn. You did tell me I look like an Oompa Loompa, so that's where the problem comes in.
Now it's going to be. Now Alan's going to be posting all these pictures of SpongeBob on our Facebook page. You know that, don't you? That's
Alan's
coming.
Not listening. Don't tell him. I don't mind. I love SpongeBob. I'm not ashamed.
I can't believe you said that on the air.
Under the sea? I mean, come on, SpongeBob SquarePants. Absorbent in yellow and porous as he, SpongeBob SquarePants. I can do the whole song. I'll sing it
all right,
if you want.
Wait till. Why don't you talk to Katie, and I'm going to go look for some SpongeBob pictures to see if any of them look like an Oompa Loompa.
How dare you. You know what? I will send you a picture of me with SpongeBob. Thank you very much. I'll send it to you after the show because I'm going to have to look for it. But I have a picture of me with SpongeBob. Maybe if Katie starts taking things over, I will send it to you. So first, Katie, I'm so sorry. This is embarrassing that every time you come to us, we're talking about something ridiculous. But how are you enjoying the readings of Black Beauty, Katie?
I love them. I find them very dramatic. But I have to say I still have that childhood thing of Black Beauty where it just makes me a little sad.
Oh, it's terrible. It's so sad. But here we learn that Glenn is a proponent of the bearing rein. I mean, seriously, the whole story, you're going to learn a lot about that overcheck rein, as you call it, Glenn. You will never hook one of those up to your horses again. That's true. So, Katie, anyway, back to what you're calling for. Obviously, Katie is from horseandcountry.tv calling in to give us her weekly European report. What is happening?
Well, we have a very exciting activity going on our website at horseandcountry.tv this week. We have a live stream of a Shire horse who is about to foal down at any moment. I don't know how much you know about Shire horses, but they're a significant risk of disappearing in the UK. Obviously, originally, they were used for carrying knights into battle and also into farming and pulling work. Beautiful, beautiful horses, usually around anything between 17.2 and 19 hands high. Lovely, big, fluffy feet. They really are beautiful, big, gentle giants. And we now only have about between 900 and 1,500 breeding mares in the UK. So, you know, that's really low for what is a breed that is indigenous to the UK. But we have tracked one down, and she is literally about to drop. So we have a live stream running that can be watched from anywhere in the world to see when she falls down and what the little foal is going to be like.
Now, I actually did this story not too long ago, Katie, and what really kind of scared me is that this mare has not had a lot of success as a broodmare. The farm manager, Richard Morris, says there's no guarantee this birth will be straightforward, particularly as Queenie had a miscarriage last year and the previous foal had to be put down. So is that a concern at all that you're that these guys, and again, the webcast is part of the National Trust My Farm Experiment. Does that make them nervous at all, the fact that this mare has had so many problems?
I don't think so. I mean, unfortunately, these things happen, and not every birth is straightforward. I mean, we only have to look at the blog that I talked about last week with the enteritis. There are so many problems with foaling and breeding, and actually, it's probably, you know, it's a good thing to bring to people's attention so that they realize that it's not really straightforward. Queenie has also had very successful foalings.
Okay,
so, you know, this isn't the first time that she would have had a healthy foal. she has lost the two that she had the way she was pregnant at my farm, but she has given birth successfully to three foals.
Okay, good. See, they, of course, don't mention that in the article at all. They just say what how nervous the manager is and that she's had these problems. Yeah. So, well, that's good. I feel a lot better about that now.
And with anything like a foal that has deformities at birth, you have to question why the foal had the deformities. And, you know, they won't have gone back to the same stallion to put her to this time. So,
okay.
You know, you kind of have to look at what the reason might be. So it's a different stallion, it's a different situation, and she's being very closely monitored.
Okay, good. And where can people find that? It's on horseandcountry.tv?
If you go to horseandcountry.tv, there's a big picture of Queenie, and you can see her big pregnant belly in there with her handler, Emma. And it's a big picture on the front of our webpage. Just click that, and it will take you to a page with a live stream on it. At the moment, you can see an empty stable because she's out in her paddock at the moment. But she's normally back in, well, she'll be back actually in her stable in about an hour and 20 minutes from now.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, what is happening also in the world of horseandcountry.tv?
Well, very excitingly, one of your countrymen, Monty Roberts, has been honored privately by the Queen for services to the royal family, which is great news, really. I mean, Monty's techniques are amazing. I didn't realize quite how involved he was with the royal family, but apparently in 1989, the Queen Mother was reduced to tears when Monty managed to tame her wildest horse. So he's been involved with the royal family for quite a while. Apparently it was the Queen that prompted him to write The Man That Listens to Horses and said that he might write a book about his experience. Yeah, so we hear. So he's been awarded an honorary member of the Royal Victorian Order by the Queen, and it's one that is specifically awarded by her, has nothing to do with the government. So, you know, it's a real honor and I think a real credit to Monty Roberts and his techniques.
Now, this may be a random question, but do you know just about how many people receive this honor? I mean, I'm assuming it's pretty exclusive.
It is, that's right. There was two others that were awarded it this year. One was the IVF pioneer, Professor Robert Edwards, who created the first test tube baby in 1978. And the other was an artist called Sam Taylor Wood, who directed the film Nowhere Boy about John Lennon and his childhood in Liverpool.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's maybe two or three a year, but not more than that.
Gotcha. So this is, well, congrats to Monty Roberts. We've had him on our show before. He won the 2010 Hottest Dad Award because he's fostered, did you know he's fostered 47 children?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? What a nice man.
He's an amazing guy, that is for sure. So then I think, too, you know, I have friends, Katie, that we is like, hey, it's time to go to lunch. Hey, let's go ride your horse. Hey, let's go do this. Wait, no, I've got to tend my crops. I got to feed my pig. I'm on Farmville. Now, you guys have something else that's kind of like Farmville?
Kind of, but with very real ramifications. We have teamed up with My Farm, which is the National Trust Project at Wimpole Home Farm near Cambridgeshire in the UK. And they've literally created a real-life Farmville. My Farm allows people to become online farmers, again, wherever you are in the world, and you have a vote and a say to choose what they do. So you're choosing what plants they crop, what crops they choose to plant, and things like, you know, what livestock to rear. So you're making those decisions, and we have the farm manager who's going to blog for us and let us know what's going on, what's been chosen, the implications, how it affects the environment, and so on and so forth. So it's a blog that's really worth checking out. The farm manager is called Richard Morris, and at the moment online we have a whole introduction from him about My Farm and how you can take part. So, again, that's at horseandcountry.tv.
Okay. I don't know that I would really be taking suggestions from the average person who lives in the middle of the city about what to put in my farm. I don't know that that's such a good idea.
It's voted on. So if people said something silly, they would undoubtedly be outvoted by the others.
Because I could see them, you know, getting voted to have monkeys and you know, hippopotamuses. in his farm. It could...
Not much of a market for those, though.
No, not really. Except for Jamie would like to have a baby hippo. But that, other than that, there's really not much of a market for baby hippos.
No, but it's a beautiful place, actually. There's a picture of the farm on our website as well, and it's really stunning. It's really pretty. Really
it's a clever
farm.
Idea, though. I mean, obviously, he's going to get some play out of it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's going to start some debates around people, but also it brings farming to the public attention,
important. Do you know how much revenue the company, what's the name of the company that started Farmville? Can't remember right now. But do you know how much revenue they took in last year in the people buying fake stuff, buying virtual nothing? $700 million last year.
It doesn't surprise me. It's amazing what people will spend money on online, isn't it?
They're buying virtual, shovels and rakes.
Yeah, I know.
Bizarre. And, I want to see, can you imagine the banker that they sat down with the first time and they said, we would like to borrow $10 million because we think that people will actually pay for stuff that doesn't exist. They're going to actually buy things so that they can play a better game. And the banker must have laughed him out of there. But they did.
Well, there you go.
Sorry about that. I interrupted.
that your little your rant, Glenn?
Yes, my rant for the morning. Thank you very much.
Oh, gotcha. Katie, what else do you guys have coming up?
Well, MHRTV, as you know, we broadcast a few hours a week on HRTV over in the States. And this week we are showing, finally, Badminton 2011 for you guys. So
Yay! There
is extended coverage of badminton. You just need to have a look at the HRTV website and at their schedule so that you can find out exactly when it's on in your time zone. But, yes, all the action for Badminton 2011, and it's a very exciting one, so don't miss it.
Oh,
cool,
it absolutely is.
Yay.
And I can't believe it took so long. I guess, is it just a lot of editing, or is it a lot of time? Did we have to get through the Triple Crown here in the U.S.? What took so long to air badminton?
Well, we showed it shortly after the event itself. So I imagine there's editing and things on HRTV side, or just the general deal that has to be done with the various hosts of the event to get permission to show it on HRTV. All of that sort of thing takes time. We've had the build up. Last couple of weeks we've been showing you things from Badminton 2010, and now it's Badminton 2011, and there's big names competing, and it was a very exciting competition, so it's really worth taking the time to sit down and enjoy that.
Good deal. So again, you guys on horseandcountry.tv have just so many interesting and informative videos. If you sit down and you log on to horseandcountry.tv, make sure you have plenty of time, because you cannot just look at it. It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't just eat one. You can't just watch one video. You have to watch them repeatedly over and several different ones. So what would you say is your video of the week? Like, what is the one must-see that if anybody's going to sit down today and just view one video, what would you think?
I think, given that Monty Roberts has just been honored by the Queen, we have a great interview with Monty that effectively was carried out by our website visitors. We asked them what they would like to know from Monty and what they would like to ask him. And then we put all those questions to Monty, and he replied directly to them. So there's an amazing mix of questions, both about Monty and about his techniques and how, even about individual horses, and how he would work with them. So it's really worth seeing, because there's loads of advice in there. So it's the Monty Roberts Forum questions video, which you'll see on there. If you just go to video and search for Monty Roberts, you'll see all of the Monty Roberts content, and that's in there.
Awesome. Okay, everybody, definitely go check that out, as Monty is, a friend of the show, and we all love him very, very much. It's horseandcountry.tv. Katie Gilmore with our European report. Thank you so much for being a part of the show again today.
No problem at all. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you, Katie.
We'll call you tomorrow, and we'll put you on hold so you can just listen to the reading of Black Beauty again and again. Okay, we'll do that every day.
That's okay. I can listen online.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go, Katie. Yeah, I'm with you.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure you're listening. So.
Bye, Katie.
All right, girl. Thanks.
All right, take care, guys. Bye.
I have something for you, Jamie. see if I can make this work for you.
Servant in yellow and orange. If not, it will not be something you wish.
Does that make your day better, Jamie?
Man, my neck rips up like a fish. I can do. Hold on, I'm going to post this on Facebook just for you, Glenn. This is, you know, when I used to do radio, real radio, like actually, you know, on a real radio station, I used to get to meet celebrities all the time. And this is one of the celebrities that I got to meet, and it is now posting on our Facebook page. I was a big deal, okay? I was a big deal, and I met lots of famous people. And I don't think anybody topped this that I've just posted on Facebook.
Yeah, I think it's funny about that. Oh, by the way, wait a minute. Before I talk about it, I have to start over because we got that back going in the background. So what I think is so funny about that picture, Jamie, is SpongeBob SquarePants is taller than you.
I didn't ever think of that. He was a big SpongeBob, okay? He was a giant. And I would like to let you know that I'm nervous around mascots anyway, people in costume, and so I was a little bit scared, but I still, it was SpongeBob, so it made it okay.
That's just really sick. That is grounds for divorce, by the way. Chad, I'll be calling him later and telling him that the judge will definitely award him everything, horses, everything. By the way, there's a correction for you. This is by Rick Conley. An overcheck is not a problem for horses in harness unless it is adjusted too tightly or short. In fact, it is a necessary piece of safety equipment that keeps a horse from getting their bridle caught on the wagon tongue. There. So it's a safety thing.
I'm going to read about the bearing rein. Maybe that's not the same thing as the bearing rein. But wait,
it is.
A bearing
it
rein?
It is the same thing as a bearing rein. Yeah.
Well, then apparently the people in England were putting them way too tight back in 1877 because that is when Ansuel was complaining about the so basically what happened is Rick Conley puts his bearing reins on his horses too, and he's just trying to tell everybody that it's for safety, but it's really not. It's cruelty.
And on that
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? Servant in yellow and poor is he?
There's not a gonosis. It's something you miss. Bad surface and hop on the deck and flop like a
okay.
fish. Okay.
And you thought Kegasus was bad.
You thought Kegasus
was bad.
I don't play Kegasus every time you say SpongeBob.
Oh, but guess what's going to be queued up from now on?
You know what? That's fine. That's excited. And Robert Dunn says that at least he said, you'll be glad to know you look nothing like him, Jamie. I look nothing like SpongeBob. Thank you very much, Robert. You're so
helpful. Apparently, he also still thinks you look like the Oompa Loompas is what he's trying to say without saying it.
You're going to get everybody in trouble. Glenn.
This felt like a Friday, didn't it? Kind of felt like a Friday.
Yeah, I wish it was. 2 days off from you would be nice right now.
I know. It is. It's only Tuesday, people. But you know what we say about Tuesday? Tuesday's kind of that day that's just stinky. You know, just it's nothing. It's Tuesday. It's just like
Tuesday has no feel.
Has no feel. That's right. Tuesday has no feel. All right, let's wrap it up today. Don't forget that you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And the Western Show will be out today. Tack and Habit. Actually, Jennifer's doing Tack and Habit with Helena this week, talking about a couple of cool products. So Jennifer's going to be doing that. And then also you can find us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
I'm sorry, I'm reading about the bearing rein. Basically, it sounds like it's pretty cruel. So loosen it up, people, all you drivers out there. Rick Conley out there cranking your horses' heads up. Black people.
Okay, I'm going to have to get Wendy back on here because she's a professional driver. So we're going to have to get her back on to straighten you out.
Well, just wait, because there's more about the bearing rein coming up in this book. Just from the horse's perspective, you're going to see. If you missed the live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning. It'll finally be Wednesday, one day closer to the weekend. And goodbye, everybody. Have a great day. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets. Be safe.